Peter Dickinson is a British author who was born in Zambia and educated at Eton and Oxford. He has written 16 children's books and an equal number of novels, including several mysteries. His latest is called Perfect Gallows. Our book critic John Leonard has this review.
Some of us meet like druids late at night to read Peter Dickinson's murder mysteries, and some of us are worried. A Dickinson murder happens typically in some weird anthropological elsewhere, in Africa or Arabia or New Zealand, in caves or monasteries where no god dare set foot, and we're so busy enjoying his art that we don't pick up on a certain creepy obsessiveness. But lately this Dickinson, who has always hated rationalism and modern science, seems also to hate artfulness itself. His recent novel, Hindsight, for example, was all about a novelist finding out that his own life was a novel with the wrong last chapter. Perfect Gallows is a novel about a play in which an actor can't change the lines in his own last act. Art, Dickinson has decided, is a lie, a counterfeit. This makes him tired and angry. He stopped being playful and is merely obsessive. Old fans will be dismayed. New readers should begin instead with The Green Gene or The Poison Oracle. Perfect Gallows alternates between wartime England in 1944 and Thatcher's London in 1986. In 1944, Andrew Ragg, age 18, is summoned to Mimms, the manor house of his distant cousin, Sir Arnold. Sir Arnold, attended by two unlovely daughters and a Zulu manservant, is a brandy-bloated old toad who made millions in diamonds from various crimes against black South Africans. He requires a male heir. Arrogant Andrew would rather make his own money as an actor, but lingers anyway at Mimms to practice his persuasions on a luckless local lass, to play Prospero in a local production of The Tempest, and to read aloud to the Zulu manservant, who will also play the role of Caliban, from a book about the bestialities of the Black King Shaka. An impostor will inherit Mimms, the Zulu will be found hanged in a nearby pigeon loft, and feckless Andrew will run off to other stages with, quote, the egotism of his art. In 1986, Andrew is now Adrian, a famous actor with a secret other self. After many almost vintage Dickinson passages on the English upper-class horror show and sex as a performance art, there's no reason why Perfect Gallows couldn't be a good novel, or at least a good mystery. It is neither. We've figured out who did what to whom and why long before the last 12 rushed and all-explaining pages. Dickinson forgets to tell us whatever he meant to symbolize by The Tempest and his Zulus to begin with. As if he were in a hurry to end a distasteful business, he leaves us with a brutal, almost slapdash cartoon of human relationships that's all domination and submission, all power and no love, like the worst fiction of Norman Mailer and Gore Vidal. Maybe we're being told that love, like art, is just another lie, a counterfeit. What a big talent to waste on such a little message.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed Perfect Gallows by Peter Dickinson.